Okay, if you will, please turn in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And that will not begin to cover what we're going to look at this morning. It will just kind of introduce us to what we're going to look at. But then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Matthew chapter 13 begins with Jesus setting up a scenario or a scene where he is going to speak to a multitude of people. He goes to the seaside where many people can gather around and many people can hear his voice carry. And at that particular point in time in his ministry, it says in verse 3, he spake many things unto them in parables. He spake in parables. Now, the rest of that verse says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And we then have the parable of the sower. But that's not the only parable that is in chapter 13. In fact, if you would look in chapter 13, you have the parable of the sower. Verse 24, it says, "Another parable he spake unto them." Verse 31, "Another parable he put forth unto them." Verse 33, "Another parable spake he unto them." The Lord Jesus spake four different parables just in this chapter. And before we really begin our message this morning, we need to understand what a parable actually is. Jesus spoke in parables, and in this chapter he spoke four different ones. What is a parable? Well, a parable is a common story, an earthly story, with a deeper meaning behind it. It's a story that could be understood on two levels. There is a initial factor that you can understand this story from, where you feel like you get all the information and everything there is with the story. But then there is also a second level to that, where it is much deeper and has a different meaning behind it. Well, when the Lord spoke in parables, his parables were different. They had an earthly story behind them, but they had a spiritual meaning behind them. And so when the Lord speaks in parables, he will tell us a story that everybody can understand, but only a certain select few will be able to understand the deep spiritual meaning behind that story. So, if you're wondering, four parables, a parable is a story with two meanings, one plain and one hidden, one that is very evident and one that is concealed, then you may be asking this question. And we will get to our text now. You may be asking the same question that Jesus was asked in verse 10. The disciples came and said unto them, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" So what's the question? And maybe you had the same question here too. Jesus is speaking parables. A parable is a story with two meanings, one very clear and one concealed. And in this case, he was speaking a very plain story, which had a very deep spiritual meaning behind it. So the question is this: why? Why did he speak in parables? Well, the Lord gives us many answers to this question. In fact, I'm going to give you four answers that he gives to the reason why he spoke in parables. And that will be the main part of the message here this morning. But we will be covering verses 10 all the way down. We'll be looking down to verse 17. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, why speakest unto them in parables? And here's the first answer, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The first answer as to why Jesus spoke in parables is this: because there were mysteries to be revealed, and only to a select few. Now, when we talk about mysteries today, a lot of times when we say something is a mystery, we really mean that it's uncomprehendable or incomprehensible. We mean that we can't wrap our heads around something. When we say something is a mystery, then sometimes we will tell our children, they'll ask us why, and I should have thought of a really good example, but our children will ask us why something is the case, and we don't know the answer to it, and we say, it's a mystery. No one knows. And there are a lot of things in this world that are mysterious like that, that no one knows. You think about Stonehenge, and you think about certain the pyramids and things like that, and you say, well, how were they built and who built them? And we say, what? It's a mystery. And you know what? When it comes to that mystery, we'll probably never know the answer behind it. That's how we interpret, that's how we talk about mysteries today. Something that is, you remember Robert Stack? Anybody? They're unsolved mysteries. And they're things that we'll never comprehend. But that's not what the Bible means right here when it talks about mysteries. When the Bible talks about mysteries, what it means, it is something that is concealed. It doesn't mean it's something that is not comprehensible, not being able to understand. It simply means it is veiled or it is concealed and hidden until what happens? Until it is revealed. So when Jesus says here in verse 11, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them is not. That means it's something that is comprehensible. It is something we can know, but it is concealed to many other people. And what are these mysteries? Well, look at it. It says the mysteries of what? The kingdom of God. Of heaven. Folks, I believe the mysteries that he talks about, and all you got to do is look at the parables. But the mysteries that he's speaking about are in regards to his kingdom. They are in regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are in regards to his death and his resurrection and his gospel and the way people receive the gospel and the way people act toward the gospel. And folks, a lot of people don't understand the things of the gospel. But there are many that do. And praise be to God, it is because He revealed them to us. Now, a parable both reveals information to some and it conceals information to others. But yet, they understand it as an entertaining story. So when he's speaking, and here's why I want to mention this to you. When he's speaking to this multitude of people from the seaside, I want you to understand everybody came away with something there. Everybody that listened to his words came away with something. Many of the people just simply came away with entertaining stories about a sower, about someone who sows tares and wheat. And they heard these stories about farming, and they heard these different other stories, and they were entertained. They didn't have Netflix back then. They didn't have ESPN back then. They didn't have all the entertainment we have today. So someone that was able to tell a good story, they were an entertaining person. And folks, the Lord Jesus sat and they all stood. And I promise you this, He captivated every one of their attentions. And they hung on His every word. But the whole time He was speaking, He was either revealing deep spiritual truths to some, and He was also concealing those deep spiritual truths to other people. And so, the reason He did this is because those mysteries were made for some of them to be understood, and some of them it was to be concealed. The disciples were given these revelations on the things of the gospel. And the other people, it was concealed. In fact, the disciples didn't even fully understand it when they first heard it, did they? So why are you talking about these parables? And then if you'll look, notice what it says in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. They say, okay, He's telling them a parable of the sower. But look at verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. He had literally just already told the parable of the sower. And this is one of the few times in Scripture where the word is presented forth, and then you have a clear explanation of exactly what that word means. So the disciples didn't understand even then. They went back to Jesus, and Jesus explained to them in a spiritual meaning what this parable was. But to those by the seaside, it was concealed to them. So the first answer is why He spoke in parables. It was to reveal mysteries to some and conceal them to others. Secondly, notice verse 13. Or I'm sorry, verse 12. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now this is like a proverb. And it kind of reminds you of this type of a proverb. You ever heard the saying, the rich get richer? That's what Jesus is kind of saying right here. And He's saying in verse 12, if someone has something, to him he'll have more. But if he doesn't have something, what he does have will be taken away. For the disciples, one of the reasons He spoke in parables is because the grace that He had given them and the revelation that He had given them was only going to grow into more and more grace and more revelation. And for those that didn't have these deep spiritual meanings in mind, then they would never have these deep spiritual meanings in mind. The disciples would only grow in grace and knowledge. But for the unbelievers, and I want you to understand this, this was especially aimed at the religious leaders and Jews and those that rejected the Messiah. This was especially aimed at these people. They would lose something, so to speak. Now, to really understand this, I want you to keep your place in Matthew 13 and look at Luke chapter 8. This is the same context, the same type of passage here. It's the same setting. It's just a different telling of the story. Notice verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him hath shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken. Now notice this next part. Even that which he seemeth to have. Now Matthew doesn't say that which he seemeth to have, but that is what the Lord was talking about. Those disciples that heard those parables, one of the reasons Jesus spoke in parables is when those disciples heard it, the Lord would reveal great spiritual truths to them and they would grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also those that heard it, that didn't have those spiritual ears, that didn't know the Lord, that didn't call Him Messiah or Savior, that didn't follow after Him as a disciple. Folks, those people, they would lose what they thought they had. The religious leaders and the Jewish people at that time, folks, they thought that they had access. They thought that they had the favor of God in heaven. They thought because of their birthright, and they thought because of their legalities and their legalism and practices, that they were on God's side and that God would never cast them away. And what Jesus is doing in these parables, I want you to understand, is He's drawing a dividing line. And He's showing that even these fishermen, uneducated fishermen, will grow in who the God of heaven is. And yet these men that claim to know who God is, they don't even have what they say they have. They're losing it. So it's not a matter of someone having God in their, so to speak, having God in their possession as someone who knows the Lord and then losing it. No, that's not the case. The idea is they're losing what they seem to have. They never had it to begin with. But to the eyes, they seem to have these things. This is what John Gill wrote. Hopefully it's a lot clearer than what I've been trying to say here. Whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. Whoever has the true grace of God implanted in him has a saving knowledge of Christ and a spiritual acquaintance with the doctrines of the gospel. That person will have more grace given to him. He shall grow in the knowledge of Christ, and the Spirit of truth shall lead him into all truth. He shall have more abundance of grace, light, knowledge, and experience. All grace shall be given and made abound toward him. He shall be filled with all fullness of God and shall arrive at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And his light shall shine more and more unto the perfect day. But whosoever hath not the grace and the truth of grace, nor a spiritual knowledge of Christ, nor an experience of the doctrines of the gospel, him it shall be taken away, even that which he has thought that he had. Amen. Folks, these parables were a dividing line to true believers and unbelievers. True believers and those who seemed to be God's people. What's the next reason he spoke parables? He first spoke them to unveil mysteries. The next was a method of growth, a method and a way to grow into the grace of God. And then we see a means of understanding, because he talks about senses in our next verse. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Why? Because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Seeing and hearing are obviously part of our five what? There are senses. When we see something with our eyes, we know it to be true. When we hear something with our ears, we know that we can verify whether it's true or not. Our senses play a big part in what we believe and what we understand. And here, he says, because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not. When Jesus walked on this earth, folks, it was very evident from the works that He had done. People could see it with their eyes that He was not a mere man. When He walked on this earth, the miracles that He performed, the way He spoke, the way He carried Himself, and His sheer holiness set him apart so drastically different from the world that your eyes would look upon him and they would say, he's different. You would say he's different from what you see. Well, then why in the world did all these multitudes of people that saw him with their eyes not follow after them? And here's the reason. Because seeing, they did not see. And that's what it says in verse 13. Seeing, they see not. And then they heard him speak, and they heard these parables, but you know what? They heard them with their ears, but they did not hear what he said. Now, women, wives, I should say, you know exactly what that means. I hear it all the time. Yes, you hear me, but you didn't hear me. And we men have a problem sometimes with selective hearing. We will hear, but we will not hear. We will not comprehend. And that's what the Lord's saying here, folks. When it comes to these parables that he was speaking, folks, people saw Jesus. They saw the miracles he did, but they didn't see who he was. They heard him and they heard the parables he spoke, but they could not comprehend these spiritual truths. And you want to know why? Because apart from the grace of God, none of us would see who Jesus is, and none of us would understand his words. That's just the facts. You ever heard a gospel message presented? You ever heard the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ presented so clearly? And you thought to yourself, my goodness, how could anyone hear that and not be saved? You ever heard that? How could anyone hear that message and not believe? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they could hear, but they could not hear. It has to be revealed to them. God has to reveal what they see and what they hear. And so the reason Jesus spoke in parables is this was a way in which he could reveal those truths to who he wanted, but keep concealed those truths to others. It's all about spiritual discernment. And it goes back, if you notice, let me see if I'm not crazy here. Notice verse 9. What's it say in verse 9? Who hath ears, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now they all, as far as I know anyway, Moses, all had ears to hear what he was saying, did they not? But they didn't have the right kind of ears, did they? They didn't have spiritual ears to discern these things. Now I'm going to give you one more reason why he spoke in parables. He spoke in parables because he wanted to reveal mysteries. He spoke as a method to cause others to grow. He spoke in a method in order to have their senses to understand and some not to. And then I want you to call your attention, actually, we're going to kind of skip over our text for a second and look down at verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in what? Parables. And without a parable spake he not. And what's the reason? Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. One other reason why Jesus spoke in parables was for his mission, to complete something he had to fulfill. This is a direct quote from Psalm 78, verses 2 and 3. And it says exactly what he says here. It talks about, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. One reason Jesus spoke in parables was to fulfill the scriptures. And to just one more instance where he is claiming to the world, it is undeniable that I am the Messiah, the Son of God. So that is the reason he spoke in parables. And in just a few more minutes, we're going to finish this text here. It was not old news that this was the way things were, that some understood and some didn't, that some spiritually discerned and some didn't, that some clearly heard things but didn't understand. I want you to notice verse 14. We see old news given here. It says in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should hear and see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and I should be converted, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is a quote from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And if you will, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6 to look at this. It is not a new thing that the words of God went forth and people did not hear and understand them. Now, if you hear the words Isaiah chapter 6, this is actually one of the most famous verses in the book of Isaiah. Possibly apart from the chapters in chapter 53 and 55 and things like that, and possibly in chapter 1. But Isaiah chapter 6 has a verse that is preached upon all the time. And it's especially preached in regards to missionaries. And do you know where I'm going with this? Does anybody know the verse? Notice in chapter 6. Well, we're going to just look at start at verse 1 here. This is a very popular passage of Scripture. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it I stood the seraphims, each of which had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched the lips, and thine iniquities is taken away, and thy sins purged. Now notice verse 8. And I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. Folks, that's a very popular passage. And here's the kind of a background of that. The king had just died. The king had just died, and the people in the land, their futures were very uncertain. But God revealed unto Isaiah that he was the one truly in charge. And when the sovereign of their land had died, Isaiah saw the sovereign of the world and realized that everything would be all right. That God was still in control. And then God asked the question, who will I send? Who will go forth? And Isaiah says, I'll do it. Here I am, send me. Missionaries have preached that message for hundreds of years. It's an encouraging message to a missionary, isn't it? God wants someone to go forth and do His work, and they say, here I am, send me. But you know, we usually stop at that verse. But these next verses should be very familiar, because that's exactly what is quoted in Matthew 13. Notice verse 9. And He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy about their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Folks, God says, go. But just know this. They'll hear you, but they won't listen. They'll see you, but they won't perceive what you're doing. I feel like that needs to be preached to preachers a lot more than here I am, go send me sometimes. Preachers need to understand that the majority of the work they do will seem like it's all false flat. The majority of work they do, most men and women will deny and refuse. And Jesus here is saying this in Matthew 13. He's saying, it's nothing new. The prophets, they went and preached the Word of God. They went and preached about the King. They went and preached about a coming Messiah. And did the people believe and understand and hear then? Nope. I'm here. I'm talking about it. I'm doing it. That's what the Lord, from the Lord's perspective. And will they hear my parables? And will they understand them? And will they understand my words? No. Now, real quickly, we're going to close. But turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. This is Paul, who has been in prison, is at Rome. This is the close of the book of Acts. I want you to notice this. Verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. What was the word that Paul spoke? Paul said, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto the fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see, yet not perceive, for the heart of the people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You say, why are you bringing this verse up so many times? Well, the prophets said this, and the people rejected it. Jesus shared these things, and the people rejected it. The apostles share these things, right? And what's the reaction of the people? They reject it. In fact, notice the end of this passage, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. You see, when the message went to Israel by the prophets, they rejected it. When the message went to Israel by Jesus, they rejected it. When the message went to Israel by the apostles, they rejected it. And now God, we are living in a time of the Gentiles where Gentiles are primarily being saved at this period of time. But I want you to understand something. The prophets, Christ, the apostles, and I want you to understand that even us today, we battle the same problem. people do not understand because it is not being revealed to them. I'm out of time. I was going to continue and go through verse 17. And then we were going to start looking at the parables together. But I feel like this is a very important message to understand before we start looking at these parables. You have to understand why Jesus was speaking in parables. Lord willing, the next time I preach on a Sunday morning, we will conclude with verses 15, 16, and 17. And then we will begin with our study on these parables in Matthew chapter 13. Let's all stand. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. We won't have a hymn of invitation this morning, but I want you to understand the invitation is always open to believe. And I know that this wasn't a particularly gospel expository type message or an invitational message, but I want you to understand something. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that He rose again the third day, and that if you would trust that message, that your sins would be removed, you can be saved. Amen. I know we talked a lot about understanding and not understanding and being revealed and concealed. And I want you to understand, if you've never trusted Christ, don't even think about those things at this moment. What I want you to think about is this. If you hear My voice and you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners and rose again the third day, you can trust that message and your sins will be forgiven. Amen. That's the message you need to understand this morning. And for those of us that have believed, here's what I want you to take away from this. When you see passages like this, it should cause your heart to rejoice on the fact that you, for some unknown reason, God loved you and revealed these truths to you. Amen. Whatever your situation is this morning, praise, honor, and glory needs to be given in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He can save you, and if He has saved you, glorify Him for doing so.